We are in the middle of Mizmar days. Lamadok Shugayim. Turn this on. Okay, let's go through.
Recording in progress.
Okay, good morning, Ablazer. Good morning, Mr. Kaladi. Okay, so we are in the middle of Mizmar days. Let's continue where we left off. Okay, I was reading the psukim until we got up to starting pasuk Mizmar Beis on page 12. The Mizmar begins. Lamarok Shugayim and Yehagurik. Why are the Goyim gathering? Why are they making noise? Why are the umim? Are they speaking or are they thinking with emptiness? Things that are rik. Now, I didn't really translate the word rik. We never really translated it precisely. According to the Mitzudas David, it means davar she'ein boy mamash. Now that's not the same as roke. Roke is spit, is spittle. Saliva is not nothing. Saliva has incredible medicines. There's a lot of medicine in saliva. So therefore, it's interesting that the word roke is related to the word rake. Here it means rik. The mitzvah stuff says it means davar she'ein boy mamash. What does the Malbum say? The Malbum, does he have a translation of the word over here? Rick? No, he does not. So the nations of the world over here, they're saying things that are total nonsense. And Yisyatsu Malchei Eretz, they stand. The kings of the earth, they stand. The Reiznim are the diplomats, the people who know, the advisors. That's what we learned over here in the Mitzudais, where he says the princes. The Malbum said it means people who know all the secrets, the counselors.
Gematria 310, right?
A rake, Reish is 200, Kuf is 310, yeah, 310, yeah.
So you say Shai Olamos.
Oh, Shai Olamos, interesting. Very interesting, Shai Olamos, good point. Yes, yeah, so what's happened then? So, so you know, it just goes back to the idea that we said many, many times. In many words, when you manipulate the word, it goes mikotze el hakotze, yishrosh yisharish, yiskol yiskol yisokel, to take root, to uproot, to throw stones, to remove stones. So you're saying very good, Mayor. The word rake means zero, nothing. Yet, which means the most you can possibly have. Everything that there is in this entire world. And the fact that the word rake is the gematria 310, which is the yesh, which is everything, goes to show also you have the same exact word. And if you, when you look at it from one angle, it means one thing, and from the other angle, it means the complete 180 degree opposite. So you're saying good, you have to add that to the list. I once tried to make a list. I don't know where I have it.
We have to publish
all the chidushim of the koilo.
Yeah.
Chidushe hakoilo. Okay, maybe you get to work on it. Full time job here and there. Okay, so Yitzyatsu Malchay, Eretz, Vereizim, Neis, Yochad, Hashem, Al Mashichai. On Hashem, the Al Mashiach, we learned yesterday, there were four different categories here, four different groups. There are the Goyim, there are the Umim, there are the Malchei Eretz, there are the Reiznim. All of them have one thing in common. They're all coming to conspire to make trouble. The world is like a kindergarten. You know, everything you need to know about life, about social interaction, is all in kindergarten. It's all about learning how to share your toys with other people. Share your toys, your building blocks, and take a nap, and eat lunch, clean up after yourself, go to the bathroom, play nice, say thank you. Isn't that what it's all about? Everything you need to know about life, you learn in kindergarten. The social interaction in this setting is really a microcosm of the whole world, all the politics. And in kindergarten, it's easy to teach children midos, manners, say you're sorry, say please. There's no shame in the teacher telling the child, I'll give you the candy, but say please. What do you say? Thank you. When you get older, when you're 60 years old, you can't go tell a person, say please, and you can't tell them, say thank you. It's either they're going to say thank you or they're not going to say thank you. You can't go tell someone, play nice. It doesn't work like that. But in kindergarten, that's the time. That's the time when you can teach people how to live. Next, Ninatka es Moisroi Seima. We learned yesterday, the word Ninatka means to sever. Moisroi Seima means what are they planning? Pasuk Gimel, according to what we've learned, is going back on Pasuk Aleph and Beis. This is the goal. This is the plan of these evil people. Their plan is to sever the straps, the nashlicha mimenu, and to remove and discard mimenu from him, avoy seimo, their ropes. Okay, there, and we made a drush yesterday referring to the trying to destroy Yadus, which is captured in the image of a Jew draped in his talis and crowned with his tefillin. So what is Hashem's response? Hashem observes these evil people, and he says, Yoshev Hashemayim Yischok. Hashem, four madregos. Hashem, he mocks them. Yischok, we learned, is a spontaneous laughter. Hashem, and then Yischok, kama. Hashem, yilag lomoy. And then Hashem goes further. There's a premeditated ridicule of these evil people. Oz yidaber alemoy ve'apoy. Hashem then speaks, alemo means alehem, concerning them. Hashem speaks to the malachi hasharis. Hashem speaks to the tzaddikim. Hashem speaks to the pamal yishol maila. What should we do about these people, these evil people? And Hashem is angry. There's af. And then uvacharoinoy yivahalemoy. Dibur, a harshness. Dibur, if Kalman is saying the Chumash, the word Dibur and Amira. Amira is softness, Dibur is harshness. Hashem speaks with conviction regarding them with an inflection of anger. And then what happens? Charoin. Charoin is where the thoughts, it overflows and it comes forth. The anger, Yivahalemoy, it goes forth and it terrifies them. The evil people find themselves in a state of confusion, chaos. They are they're disturbed. They are in a state of disturbance and they're uncomfortable. We all know what that feeling is like when you're just uncomfortable. You don't feel at peace. Now we come to where we are up to. Pasuk Vav. Va'ani nosachti malki al tziyon har kodshi. The word nosachti is a beautiful Lashon word, which, let's see right away, the mitzudo is tziyon. Okay, we're going to do a lot of, we're going to become a Zionist in Tehillim. We're going to focus on the mitzudo tziyon a lot. What does it mean, the word, what does it mean nosachti? Inyan memshala. Hashem is saying, I have crowned hachtorah. An installation, or a better word?
Coronation.
Coronation for a rabbi, a new rabbi.
Installation.
With a V.
No, it's really
investiture.
Investiture. Ooh. That's the word here. Investiture. Okay, the investiture of a new. Now, in the Melech, it means obviously a coronation. I don't know, there are many words that we use. We have a new rabbi. I never knew this word, and it's a Hebrew word. Hachtorah. Hachtorah. A new rabbi. So I always thought when there's a new rabbi and they have a ceremony to install the rabbi, I was brought up, you go to the new rabbi's installation. A new president. The installation, right? So the President of the United States, they don't make, it's not called an installation, it's called
inauguration.
An inauguration. They don't call it an installation, but lately I've been hearing a lot of new rabbis, it's called a hachtarak, a crown, a keser. They love this word now.
Is that term also used in the Hasidic world when
a new rebbe is appointed? I don't know.
It's more appropriate because they treat him like a melech.
A melech. A hachtorah, and when a new rebbe takes over. When I was a child, I went to the Beluzhava Rebbe's Halvaya. The Beluzhava Rebbe. So I never went to a Hasidic Halvaya. Whoever was in the street didn't have any Hespedim, and all of a sudden, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. I said, what? I was like, what? Mazel Tov? We had a Halvaya. They told us in the yeshiva took us. They put us on, they packed us up, and they sent us to the Levaya, the Blujava Rebbe. And they told us, you know, the Blujava Rebbe is. We know the Blujava Rebbe. We know from nothing. The Blujava Rebbe. Later, I read all these stories. I learned all these things about him. He was a very holy person. The Blujava Rebbe. Mazel tov, mazel. Wow, what's going on over here? A little shagai, modern guy. What's going on? Don't you know by a Levaya, the Chassidish Rebbe, at the Levaya, they a mamlech. They coronate the successor at the Levaya. And we want it now.
There's no opposition.
Oh, that's exactly why they do it by the Levaya. Right. Because if you wait even one day, it's too late. You got it. Oh, you know, the stories are infinite. All these, the nastiness, the ugliness. What goes
they
on?
They did it by the Satmar Rebbe in 1979 at the Levaya too, but the,
didn't work.
I mean, at Kamas Matseva, a week later, that's when they did it, but obviously there was still a lot of friction.
You know, yeah, and his nephew went to his nephew. Okay, there's no end to this. Here we have the word Nosachti. Nosachti is a very important word. Over here, this is the word that David is selecting. Obviously, this is Nevuah.
Sounds like it's from the roots, from anointing. You know.
Oh, exactly. Like Nesachim. Nesachim, libations. To pour yayin. So you're saying something very, very...
No,
you're saying
they
something.
Had the yayin, the oil, the Shemen
HaMishcha.
Shemen
HaMishcha. Right.
The kings and the...
The Shemen, and so what... It literally means to pour. It means to pour, right? Nesach means to pour. Look at the Mishra. In Memshala.
We say also something,
the Azmi
Kedem Nesucha, the Shabbat.
So what does it mean there? It means you've been anointed, you've been...
The Shabbat was...
Became a melech. It was designated to be a malchus. Yes. Shabbos malchusa, the queen.
Right.
Okay, so this is very, you say very good. Why are nisachim, the wine libations, why are they called nisachim? There are many different words you can use. The fact that the word that is selected is nisachim, you cannot ignore that there must be some relationship to the word nosachti in this context, which is used commonly to refer to the appointment of a person in a position of malchus. Here, Va'ani Hashem says, Nosachti Malki, I have crowned, I have inaugurated, I have appointed my king, Al Tzion, Har Kachem, Tzion, my holy place. Look at the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah is David, Va'ani Avi, I have given authority to the Melech HaMashiach. The Eichim Kain Tuchlu Bolamu Lumuli. How dare anyone try to conspire against I, Hashem says. Ucha Oimer, this means to say near the Dvar Miyakam Shulchan Moshe. Hashem over here is mocking them. Let's see who is going to win the battle. Rashi, Vani Nasach and Nasachti Malki Lama Rigashtem. Why are all of the nations of the world making so much noise? Why are you gathering? Why do you think you have any power here?
Why are you in
the
Anochi,
another Rashi.
Why are you in turmoil?
Right, why are you in turmoil? The Anochi Minisi, I have appointed. Rashi is translating the word Nosachti, I have appointed Li Ezeh, this person, Linsoich, to rule. The Limlach. Two words. Linsech obviously here means to rule. Gesundheit. Yeah, he's saying very good. The reason why you're using all this, why you're saying to pour the oil. You want to suggest that the word Linsech means when you appoint a king, they would pour the Shemen HaMishcha. So it refers to the anointment. Al Tzion V'Har Kodesh.
It goes back to the Nisichim we said earlier.
The officers.
Yeah.
The officers. Okay, what the Malbim, the Be'er HaMilos, does he translate the word? No, he does not. Okay, let's go to the next passage. What?
When you made the Bnei Aaron Kohanim,
yeah,
they was initially.
They were anointed. The Levim also. The Levim also were anointed. But Enochai, that was a one-time thing.
You can't make a melech if you don't have a Shemen HaMishcha.
Correct. But that was a one-time event, which was one time. Every king, every new king. Well, the truth is, you're right. A new
only
king. Only if there's a challenge to the Malchus, then they have to actually go and anoint him. You're right. So it's true.
It's a son, you know.
if it's a son, you don't, unless you have Adoniyah ben Chagis Misnase Limani Emlech. That's why Shlomo had to be anointed, because there was a challenge to his throne. When there's a challenge, you need there to be an anointment. So he's saying a very interesting idea. He said that the Melech HaMashiach, you're opening up over here a whole line of thought, the whole idea, is that when the Melech HaMashiach, we see this today, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, you know, today there's a challenge. Who is the Melech HaMashiach? Unfortunately, throughout the ages, there have been quite a few false messiahs. Shabbosai Tzvi, he gets the cake, right? There's been a whole collection, but there have been many more. There's been a whole collection throughout the ages of people who have claimed and that they are the Melech HaMashiach, and they have quite a bit of followers, and they've caused quite a bit of trouble. And people have said, no, you're not. And thus, as Ramayevsky said, that the Melech Me'ikar Hadin does not need to be anointed. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that's not halacha. Only the first, Shaul was anointed, David was anointed, that's it. The successor, a son, a child, does not need to be anointed. The only time a child needs to be anointed is where there's a challenge, is where not everyone is satisfied that this indeed is the Melech. If we're going to learn that these psukim are referring to Yimos HaMashiach, we learned yesterday to Mahalach, how to understand this mizmar, either it's Yimos HaMashiach or it's referring to David HaMelech himself when he became the Melech. If you can learn it's Yimos HaMashiach, is the pasuk coming to allude that when the Melech HaMashiach will come, not everyone's going to accept him immediately. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle to be accepted, and that's why it says, V'ani I Hashem nosachti malki. I will go and have to pour upon him the Shemin HaMishra, because, and then we see this today, you know, you can't satisfy everyone. Living in Golis is a reality where you really cannot satisfy everyone. There are different approaches to life and different ideas, and it takes a very, very long time until people come around to acknowledge, yes, this is correct. And why did Hashem select this word? Now, if you want to suggest that this pasuk refers to David, when David became the Melech, then of course David needed to be anointed for two reasons. Number one, we're changing, it's a new line of Malchus. It's no longer a child. Okay, Shaul was the king from Shevet Binyamin, and now we're shifting to a different Shevet Yehuda. It's an entirely different line of Malchus. He's not the son of Shaul. Therefore, al pi halacha, he needs to be anointed. And number two, even if he was a son, which he's not, there was quite a challenge to his malchus. Okay, there was a very strong challenge to his malchus in many respects. First of all, he came from Moavi, which was a challenge. Moavis, and like we said yesterday, they challenged him being a mamzer, and he had many enemies. And Ish Boishas, Nefi Boishas, the Shaul's family was not very happy that David was taking over the Malchus. So David indeed was challenged and was from a different line. So without question, David needed Al Pi Halacha to be anointed with the Shemin HaMishra. It was a basic halach requirement. But the Melech HaMashiach of the future, does he really need Al Pi Halacha Shemin HaMishra? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's been many years. It's been quite a number of years since the Melech HaMashiach. So this, you're not going to say that this is a son. This is a descendant. The Melech HaMashiach has to be a ben from David HaMelech. That's the tradition. Has to be from Malchus Beis David. So does he, al pi halacha, need Shemin HaMishra? Maybe you could argue he does not. So if he does not, why then will he be anointed? Obviously, because it's been a long time. It's been a long time. A lot of things have happened, and there are a lot of challenges. And we know today, in the modern world that we live in today, it's very, very hard to satisfy, impossible to satisfy everyone. And there's a struggle, there's a challenge. And therefore, you need there to be the nasachti, the pouring of the Shemin HaMishra to anoint him. Pasuk Zayin, Asapira, I will now relate. El Choyk. Hashem, El Choy, it's very hard to put the commas in the right place over here. Asapa, I will relate. El Choy. Now, El Choy means, let's live in charge of make believe. Let's go look over here at the Mitzudas David and the Malbim. The Mitzudas David on page 18 says, El Choy, Kumo Fatihi chog bi Yisrael uv. Well, I'm reading wrong. Sorry, I'm reading elchog eschog eschog. Mitzudos tzion, mitzudos tzion eschog chen vayirdefu el midyan. He does tell us that the word el should be translated like s. I will relate s. Make believe it says asakra. I will now relate eschog the following law. The following statement, the Mitzudas of it says Choyk Miloshoyne Chakika Uchesiva. Ancient times, you would write on tablets of wax. So how would you write? You take an 8, you take a stylus, and you etch the words Choyk into the wax. You
inscribe.
By etching into the wax. That's called a Choyk. Chakika to make a scratch. Now look at the Mitzudas David, and the Mitzudas David, I think it's on the previous page, the Mitzudas David, Asap, we'll go back on page 17 on the very, very bottom, Asapara, Omar David, Bimkoim HaMashiach. David, the Mitzudas, by the way, obviously he learns, his entire interpretation is learned that this refers to the Melech HaMashiach. And Rashi is always referring to, Rashi's going always with the Mahalik, that we're referring to David when he became the king. But they're very similar. Omar David b'mkama Mashiach, Asaper es hadover hechokuk ba'sefer. I will now relate to you something that has already been written in the Sefer. B'sefer, Shehashem Omar Eli, Hashem said to me, B'ni ata, you are my child. K'moy shenemar, B'ni b'choyri Yisrael, v'hamelech, Yechashev kicholam. The Mitzvah David here says a mouthful, an enormous, enormous commentary, which obviously you can expound upon forever. And he's saying, number one, he's saying it's a two-step process. The child here, the etzem, is Klal Yisrael. It's all of us, and that is a pasuk in the Torah, Bini b'choyri Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro, the very first thing, the very beginning, the very first thing, Moshe says, what should I tell Paro? Tell Paro, Bini b'choyri Yisrael, and I will kill your firstborn. That was the opening line. The opening line, the salvo, the first time.
That's Hinei Anochi. You know, Mace, Kol b'chorecha, but that's not Bini b'choyri Yisrael.
In that same section,
the same section.
Right.
B'nei B'chori Yisrael, that's to tell
B'nei
Yisrael
that. No, but I think he told, that was the Paro
song. B'nei B'chori Yisrael, he said, should I tell B'nei Yisrael? He said, B'nei B'chori, you tell them B'nei B'chori Yisrael.
Okay.
To Paro was,
I'm going to kill your firstborn. So you're dividing the line, you're dividing it. Okay, fine. So the first, the reason why this is so important is because as the Radak himself said at the end of this, in this parak, is that we need to know how to respond to the meaning.
Right.
The meaning, obviously, they look at this pasuk and they say, oh, this is the greatest proof that there's immaculate conception. Hashem as a child. You are my child. Nonsense. Total nonsense. And the pasuk is coming even to address it because it says here, according to the Mitzudos, chok. What is the chok? The chok, what has been written in the Bible. It says in the Torah. It has been etched into the Torah HaKadosha, right. Bini b'choyri Yisrael. Now, if that's the case, we have a problem because Hashem over here is speaking to the Melech, to the Melech HaMashiach. And the answer is, Lei, the Melech is shokul keneged the entire Klal Yisrael. The heart of the Melech encompasses the entire Klal Yisrael. This is a very Hasidish approach. Malchus, Chassidus is a very fascinating study. What exactly is today? I'm not trying to put anyone down. I don't believe today we have real Chassidus anymore. But if you go back in time of the previous generations, there's a whole Bible explaining the principles of Chassidus, and Chassidus is very powerful. A Rebbe has real power. There's a whole science behind this. how the Hasidim, they basically surrender their, you can't say their free will, but it comes pretty close to that. They surrender themselves to an individual who serves as a conduit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is really heavy-duty stuff. And that's
surrendering, you know, their individuality.
Individuality, even their free will. It's a very dangerous game. Because there's Bechira Chavshis, and you know, obviously the Vilna Gaon did not appreciate this approach of Hasidus. Intermediaries, and it's a very dangerous thing. And especially, you know, so it's one thing, you want to go back hundreds of years ago, and the people that were leaders were obviously, by all standards, extremely holy people. You live today in a generation, in the 21st century, okay, they are very good people today, but I don't think people are going to go around and say that these people have Ruach HaKodesh. You're not going to look at them like that. And if you're going to follow the playbook of what real Hasidus is all about, it's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. You need to have a leader that possesses the qualities for all of this science, this science that exists in this body of Torah called Hasidus, which I don't really know where does it come from exactly. It's not exactly so clear. It's powerful stuff. It's very, very powerful stuff. And perhaps you can suggest that Hasidus is really built on Malchus. There is such a principle in the Torah, Soim Tosim Olecha Melech. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael a koyach of Malchus. It does exist, such a thing. And if you want to know what Malchus is, Tehillim. Psukim Mamash, just like this. Read Psukim like this. You go through Tehillim, you go through Shmuel, you go through Sefer Melachim. There's something called Malchus. Malchus is a world to itself, which I don't think we really appreciate because we don't have it. But Hasidus, no question, takes some of those qualities that exist in Malchus and use it to create a community where you have a very powerful leader. It appears that Hasidus is built upon the foundation of Malchus. So what is Malchus? What is Malchus? You know, you want to go talk about the Umay Sa'ilam, you have kings, we don't live in a world today where we have Malchus. The Queen of England is not exactly a person that has much power. Okay, she's a figurehead, but it's not, you know, no one's going to ascribe to her, you know, things that we read about what real Malchus is. What is Malchus? So here you get a little glimpse. In this pasuk, you get a glimpse. With the Mitzvah stuff, it's a very difficult pasuk. And the pasuk over here says, there's something called Hashem says, I will now relate El Choik. El Choik means Es Choik. I will relate to you what has already been written in the Torah HaKadosh. Choik means has been written down. What has been written down in the Torah? Hashem has made a declaration that the Jewish people established
in such a way that it's permanent.
Okay, permanent.
It's not like you can erase it.
It's not subject to being erased. Okay, it's a permanent reality that the Jewish people are Hashem's child, Bini B'chayri Yisrael. That is what has been written in the Torah that cannot be erased. And now we go to the next step, and this is where it gets dangerous. I'm the Melech. David is speaking. I'm the Melech. Or you want to say the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech, in the heart of the Melech, is the whole Klal Yisrael. That's quite a quantum leap. Okay?
No, because a king gives up basically his individuality.
Yes.
He's 24/7 a public
devoted
person. A public person.
He's completely given up his individuality. Probably the closest thing he had to this now generation is Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, Meir gave me a fascinating book. Meir, I finished the book. Okay, it's really, you know, the fascinating book. Anyone who wants to read the book, it's a great book. Meir by Dalfin. Yeah. By Dalfin is a historian. He's more Lubavitch.
Conversation with the Rebbe.
So. More Lubavitch than Lubavitch. More.
Obviously very biased.
Very biased. Openly biased. It's not unashamed, not a, no, no shame whatsoever. More knowledge. And he interviewed, this book was written, it was done in the 90s, the early 90s. We're talking about a long time ago. And he interviewed at that time the who's who in Klal Yisrael, all the big, big names. And they were all in their prime. Okay, interviewed Rabbi Dr. Ben Gamliel, he interviewed Rabbi Tursky, he interviewed the prime ministers, he interviewed four prime ministers, everyone, you name the whole gamut. And they all said the same thing. They all said, all of these leaders, it really is very striking that they've dealt with many, many different world leaders, many, many leaders in Klal Yisrael. Each of these people that he spoke to, these are public figures who were very powerful and were involved in the entire Klal Yisrael. And they've had dealings with all of the leaders of the Jewish people. And they all say, and from all the people they dealt with, the Lubavitcher Rebbe stands out as a person that presents himself as totally devoted to the Klal. There's no, he leads in a way that he's working for Klal Yisrael. He's not working for one organization, for one segment of Klal Yisrael, for this segment, for these type of people.
Or for himself,
for sure not. There's absolutely no individuality. He's completely here for the whole Klal Yisrael 24/7. No family, nothing personal, nothing, not even about Chabad, about Klal Yisrael. And it just comes out, if you hear this from one conversation, okay, again and again and again in their own words, unprovoked. And it's very, very fascinating. That's what a melech is. Exactly what you said. A melech gives up from his individuality, from his, he within him is the entire Klal Yisrael. How can that be? How can one person have enough space in his heart, enough room in his mind to take into consideration the needs, the requirements, and feel the pain and struggles of everyone in Klal Yisrael? How could that possibly be?
Because he loved everybody.
But even if you love everyone, how much love could you have? It's overwhelming. Klal Yisrael is vast. How could you love everyone? It has to then be that it's really lamala miderech hatav. It's not something you can really define in terms of the natural world. People like this, there is an element of divinity in them that really cannot be defined al pi derech hateva. That's chassidus. And real chassidus is something which the siyata d'shmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu participating in allowing one person to be the representative of Klal Yisrael. It's something you cannot define. That's Malchus. Lev, what's the word? Lev HaMelech. Lev Malach Yad Hashem. Like Lev Malach, that's from Hashem's point. But the whole Klal Yisrael, this, the Metzudas David was a chassid. Only a chassid can say, and obviously wasn't a chassid, but only someone who has this understanding of what Chassidus is could write such a commentary like this, can say something like this. Read these words. These words are really explosive words. How he's coming to explain this very difficult pasuk. Asapra, I'm now going to tell you El Chok. I'm not telling you Chidushim. I'm going to tell you what already has been written in the Torah. And what is that? Hashem Omar Eli Bini Ata. Hashem said to me, you are my child. This is nothing new. This is old news. What do you mean it's old news? Bini Dechari Yisrael. So what do you mean, Ata? Ata, you're one person. David, you're one person. This whole Klal Yisrael. I'm the Melech. The Melech has within him the heart of the whole Klal Yisrael. Is that, if that's not Chassidus, then I don't know what is Chassidus. That's Chassidus. And this, so where does it come from? Malchus. Malchus is really the real source of where this principle of Hasidus comes from. One more time, those powerful words of the Mitzvah is David. Back on the previous page 17, on the very, very bottom. Omar David. David is speaking now, B'mkoyim HaMoshiach. Whether this means that David HaMelech is talking in his time, in his lifetime, or he's referring to, okay, the times of Moshiach. Asaper, let me now speak and relate, express myself regarding Es Hadavar, something that's old, something that's already been put in writing in Parsha Shemos. Es Hadavar, Hechokuk, that's been written Basefer, in the Sefer, which Sefer? Chumash, Parsha Shemos. Shehashem Omar Eli. Hashem said to me, Bini Ata. Where did Hashem say to me, I am your child? Kemo Shenemar. Bini V'chori Yisrael. Okay, that's not you. That's Klal Yisrael. And here is where the Mitzvah David becomes a chosid. And he says, the Hamelech, the leader, Yechoshev Kichol Ha'am. The Melech, he is the representative. He captures the entire nation.
Yeah, but how are we to understand the pasuk itself? Is that talking about a melech?
David's the melech. Asaba, yes.
Yeah, but the pasuk, b'nei Yisrael,
is Klal Yisrael. And this is the quantum leap of this pasuk according to the Mitzvah of David. You're right. That's why the Christians, okay, they've made so much because they don't like this pshat. They're apikarsim. They want to go say that we're referring to a single individual who is the Messiah. And the word Bini means a physical child. There's something called that God had a son, okay, with Mary. God lived with crazy nonsense, apikarsis, total crazy things. They take this pasuk. So what's the real pshat in the pasuk? What's the real pshat in the pasuk? Along comes the mitzvahs and let me tell you the real pshat in the pasuk. Read the pasuk. David is speaking. David HaMelech is speaking. He's giving a speech. Asapra. Listen clearly what I have to say to you. I want to relate. El Choik. El means S. Let me tell you some old news. I don't want to tell you any chidush. I want to tell you S. S means something. Chok. That's been written down in a book. Which book? Chumash Shemos. Parsha Shemos. What does it say there? It says there the words, Hashem spoke to Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, go tell the Jewish people, Bini Bechori Yisrael, you, the Jewish people, you are my child. And now, Hashem Omar Eli, Hashem said to me, this is Hashem said to me, this is what it says in Chumash Shemos, Bini Ata, you are my child. But wait a minute, Hashem didn't say that to me. Hashem didn't say that to David. David is speaking. Hashem did not say that to David. Hashem said that to the Jewish people, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to convey to the Jewish people. Well, guess what, Rabbi Isai? I'm the Melech. Today, I'm the Melech. Here I am. I'm the Melech. Whether it's David in his lifetime, or whether it's the Melech HaMashiach, here I am. And I am the representative of Klal Yisrael. So Hashem said to me, Hashem said, to who did Hashem say this to? To Moshe, to say to Klal Yisrael, well, here I am your representative, I have power of attorney. I am you. I'm the Melech's heart encompasses the entire Klal Yisrael. Let further, how do you finish off the pasuk? Ani hayoyim yiliditicha, mitzudai stavit, today I've given birth to you. Ritzoyin eloimah, chaviv ato be'enai, kavein lo'ov b'yoyim hivoldoi. David is adding a new dimension into the pasuk that it does not say. All it says in the pasuk is Bini Bichori Yisro. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe he's coming to explain if you want to wax homiletic. And he wants to explain what does it mean, Bichori, the firstborn. What does it mean, the firstborn? Okay, you're the firstborn, you get Pishnayim. The day a father has his first child, special day. Okay? The day when the father has his 12th. Child, oh no, how am I going to pay for this? Okay, it's an entirely different attitude when someone's having their 12th child. How am I going to pay for this? But when you have your first child, you're not thinking about how you're going to pay for this. You're so excited. Wow, look what I got here. I have a child. There's a chavivus. Perhaps, according to the Mitzvah stuff, when it says here, B'ni ani hayam yiliditicha, maybe he's coming to tell us a perush, what it means. Hashem didn't just say to Moshe Rabbeinu, B'ni ata, B'ni b'choyri Yisrael, you are my firstborn, which has a connotation of chavivus, preciousness. It's as if B'ni ani, I love you so much. Ani, I Hashem says, it's as if hayom today yiliditicha, I have been given birth to you. This is what it says in the Mitzvot. Now let's over here, pasuk Rashi. Rashi says, Asapra el choik, Omar David. David says on page 18 in the Rashi, choik katsuv hu umikubol olai lesaper zos uli hodia. Rashi is coming to disagree with the Mitzvot David, even though there's a time difference. I always, you know that. I don't mean it to be taken literally, but the Rashi is saying something a little bit different. The word choik over here does not mean it's written in the pasuk. He's saying it on his own. He's saying it, there is, I have to make a statement. Listen carefully. Press conference. Everyone come, 3 o'clock. Call the media. Everyone should be here. There's going to be a press release at this time to reveal something extraordinary. Asapra el choik, according to Rashi, this is not, again, it's an entirely different interpretation of the pasuk. This is does not mean, do not interpret the word el means s. I mean, maybe you can also. And when it says choik, it does not mean like we just said, it means it's been written down, put in writing in a sefer a long time ago. But choik means I have an announcement to make. I have a major announcement. 3 o'clock, the White House is going to put up, the President of the United States is going to address the nation. He's going to make an announcement. There's going to be something extraordinary is going to be said. That's what Asapra El Chok, call the media. Omar David, Choik Kotsufu. There is a set law or a set announcement. Who? Umikubul Olai. And this is something which has been received. I want to give over to you something that I want to transmit to you, a message I have received from Hashem. L'saper zos ulahodia. What is the message I want to give over to Klal Yisrael? The chok, this major announcement. Hashem Omar Eli al yedei noson v'god u'shmuel. Okay, so this Rashi here reveals to us a very important Rashi. Tehillim, by the way, Rabbi Isai, is a Perush Rashi on Sefer Shmuel. You learn Sefer Shmuel, and you have Rashi. Right? You have Rashi. There's a better Rashi on Sefer Shmuel. A better Perush than the Mitzvah stuff. Even better than the Mamloes. A better Perush on Sefer Shmuel. Tehillim. Tehillim is a commentary, David's own commentary on Sefer Shmuel. You read Sefer Shmuel, you have a lot of nice stories. Unbelievable, a lot of violence. It would be today, they would put ratings on it, it would be rated R. Sefer Shmuel. For violence. For violence, mature audiences only. A lot of violence in Sefer Shmuel. You need a commentary. Whose commentary? David himself. And here he says a very powerful commentary. There are three major influences on the life of David from a spiritual point of view. Spiritual rabbi. How many rabbanim do you have? Yeah, you go to, you have the Rav, you go to during the weekday shul, Shabbos shul, the Yom Tov shul, all the rabbanim. David had three rabbis. Who were the three rabbis? Nosson Hanavi, God HaChoyzeh, and Shmuel. Okay, Shmuel anointed him. These three people, and this is something we have to understand, they were very different. They each wanted a very different approach to life, a very different attitude to life, and each one was mashpia on David in a very different way. And because normally, you know, today when someone writes a sefer, open up the haskama, take the first page. Who did he get a haskama from on the sefer? So right away, he's a product of Lakewood. He's a product of the Mir. He's a product of Chevron. You right away see who this guy, where is he coming from? And you right away know, oh, he's a Mir. Okay, so you know there's a certain Mahalach. You know he's from Chevron. All right? You know he's from Lakewood. It's a Mahalach. Today it's not good. If you see someone has too many Haskamas, you know this guy's not stable. This guy runs around too much. It's not so good to run around from place to place too much. You're a little bit problematic. But David has three teachers, which is very interesting. It is very interesting that he's not a product of one individual. This Rashi is very powerful. Three people. Who are my people? Nasan, God, and Shmuel. Nasan, Anavi, God, Achoyze, Shmuel. Each one, hopefully, as we go through the Tehillim, we'll learn about their personalities and their unique hashpa on David. Hashem, all three said the same thing. That's very important. B'niyata, Roish li Yisrael, Hakruyim b'ni b'chari. V'heim yiskaimu al yadcha, k'mo shenema ba'avner, ki omer Hashem, B'yad David Avdi, through David Oishia es Yisrael. Uvishvilam, and only because of the Jewish people. Atal lefonai kavein. Shekulam tuluyin b'cha. They all depend upon you. It's very similar to what the Metzudas David says, but it's very different. Okay, on the one hand over here, Rashi is giving David more weight. In the Metzudas David, almost completely ripped away from David. David, you're not the Ben. David, you're just a representative. You're just a messenger. Klal Yisrael is Hashem's Bein. B'ni B'chari Yisrael. You, David, you're the Melech. So you're the representative. Rashi is much heavier. Rashi says, David, you're my child. You're the Ben. You're the Ben because Klal Yisrael is the Ben. Rashi gives David much more chavivos, a much deeper dosage of chavivos than the Metzudas David. Read the words carefully. Biniato. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Roish. You are the Roish. Roish li Yisrael ha-kruyim b'ni b'chari. V'heim yiskayim. They're called the b'ni b'chari, but v'heim yiskayim al yad chokim ha-shnem b'yavner. Ki omar Hashem, ki Hashem amar, b'yad David avdi Yisrael es Yisrael. Uvishvilam, through them, atol lefonai kivein. So you're also the Bein. We're not going to totally take away from you that title. Shekulam tuluyin v'cho. Ani hayoyim, shimlachticha aleihem. Today, and I have anointed you upon them, yiliditicha, liyois korui bini, v'chaviv olai, you David, you are precious to me, kivein, as a child, bishvilam. K'mo shenemar, v'ayeda David Davidoki, hechinoi, Hashem l'melech al Yisrael, v'chinisei mamlachto b'avur amo Yisrael. This pasuk is an amazing pasuk. David appreciated what his role was. How many people today can you really say they appreciate the role they're in? How many politicians have enormous, enormous power and they just think about themselves? It's all about their cover. It's all a stepping stone for their wealth, for their connections, for their cover, for their legacy. Couldn't care less about the people. People are just a burden. As long as they have their cover and their connections and their imaginary ivory tower, everything is good. This pasuk is an extremely powerful pasuk. For the pasuk to say about a leader, Vayeda David. David knew good and well the reason he is where he is, ki hechinoi Hashem lemelech al Yisrael. Hashem has prepared him to be a king for the Jewish people. V'chinisei malchuso. And the only reason why his malchus has been elevated is only ba'avur amo Yisrael. You know, it's a real democracy. A real democracy. Today you learn about people who abuse power. It's very frightening all over the world. People abuse power. Who are you here? You're a leader. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? You represent the people or you represent yourself? You represent selfish needs, selfish causes. What's going on over here? Who do you really represent? In a democracy, you're supposed to represent, you're an elected official. you're a representative of the people. Okay, a melech has enormous power, but the melech is also supposed to behave as if he's representing the people. You have more power. Maybe you know things they do not know. What's good for them? They don't know what's good for them, so you know what's good for them. But how many world leaders, when their tenure is over, can you go back and you can say about them this pasuk? You can count them on your fingers, just even if you even can count them. You can say that the people in their position of leadership had a full-fledged comprehension that they were selected for a purpose to help their people, and their success was only for their people. David HaMelech is the model, the paradigm of leadership, Jewish leadership, because of this pasuk. It's because of this pasuk. He knew where he was for the reason, for the, he was here for the right reason. He wasn't here to make parnasa for his family. A lot of people, they have a malchus. They go, what is it all about? Parnasa. I have a parnasa myself. I have my children and my grandchildren. They have jobs. They have jobs. Nepotism is a symptom of corruption. No? Abachal, you agree with me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, nepotism is a symptom that something over here is not. You disagree?
Tell me. Wrong with somebody providing for his children if they're capable.
It's halacha. There are halachas that if a child is eligible, is right, 100%. And it's not a perfect world, and you have to have an incentive. In order to be successful, there has to be an incentive. Also, there has to be an incentive, but there has to be a balance.
Right.
Has to be a balance. And unfortunately, it's the nesyonos of abusing that power to you know, just a little bit here, a little bit there.
It's a lot of times it's family.
It's all family today. There's no such thing anymore as a public trust.
It's a business.
It doesn't mean that it's wrong.
It's not wrong. It's not wrong, and that's the way it has to be. That's the way it has to be. The only thing is, if it goes woke. The only thing is when there's a blatant, 100%, that's how it has to be, and that's the way it is. That's the way it is. But sometimes, it goes to an extreme. And when it goes to an extreme, then you know something is really wrong. Look, you know, look in America. America has gone woke. Now, there's nothing really, for the big experts, they'll tell you, there's nothing really wrong with many of these principles that are part of this curriculum of wokeness, fairness, equity, and acknowledgement of wrongdoing. I mean, all of the basic principles are really true. They're very Jewish. So what's the problem? Why is the whole country going down the drain? Well, when they start removing the statues of George Washington because he was a slave owner, I think already that's already the tipping point. I mean, that's the way you've gone too far. The principles, you're right, the principles are true. There has to be fairness and understanding. But there's a point where it goes, you really, really gone way, way, way past, over the top. And that's dangerous. No, that's dangerous. Over here, a melech has to know this pasuk, in my worthless opinion, is the legacy of David HaMelech. This is his legacy. This is, you talk about Jewish leadership, you go to a Haftarah, or you go to a Chag HaSnicha. Why? You just had a Chag HaSnicha. Okay, why does the Chag go watch it online? And what's the message? What's the message to a new group of rabbanim? This, in my worldly opinion, is the message. Vayeda David, ki hechinoy Hashem lemelech al Yisrael. You should know where you got your power from. Hashem put you here. You didn't get here by yourself. You were selected to be here. And why? V'chinisei mamlachto, your malchus was uplifted. Your success is only for one, not because it's not for you. It's not that you should have a pension. You should have benefits and perks and kavod and glory and legacy. No, you're in the wrong business. You're in the wrong business. Bavur Amo Yisrael. That's his legacy. He knew it. He got it. Go look at the politicians. Go look at all the world leaders. Can you really say they got this point? Well, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is some of the things that they do clearly show that it's not about the people. It's about their own, about themselves.
What does it do with the text here? Up to here is Bnei Israel.
Okay.
And Achshav Hashem says to David, Ani hayom yeliditicha, who you
died
on top of Bnei Israel as a melech, she'al mimeni ve'etna goyim lachatecha and so forth. So up to Bnei Ata, we're talking about
a dangerous situation. Until now, the sequence is whether it's Yimos HaMashiach or whether it's when David became the Melech. We're first describing Klal Yisrael. We are first Lo Merog Shugayim. We are describing an extremely dangerous situation. Extremely, until the beginning of the parak. Lama Rag Shugayim. We're describing an extremely, the world is about to come to an end. The Klal Yisrael is about to come to an end. An extremely, Melchemes Gog u'Magog, or David's the Melech, and now the whole world is coming to conspire against him, to destroy him. And then Hashem says, I'm here to save Klal Yisrael. And the way I'm going to save Klal Yisrael is through leadership. I'm going to select a leader. Who is the leader? David. David is now going to be the leader that's going to save the Jewish people from what's happening in Pasuk Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Beis and Gimel. But Aleph, Beis and Gimel are describing the situation. Pasuk Dalet, Hey, is describing Hashem's plan to save the Jewish people. Pasuk Vav, Zayin, Ches, is now Hashem putting his plan into action. He's implementing his plan. We have a dangerous situation. Pasuk Aleph Beis Gimel. Next Psukim. Hashem says, I cannot accept this situation. It's intolerable. What's happening? I have to do something about this. What am I going to do? I'm going to appoint a melech. Who's that melech? David. Who's the melech? In the future, Melech HaMashiach. He is going to be my instrument in order to save the Jewish people. And David HaMelech says, let me tell you who I am. I'm the right guy. I'm the right guy for the job because it's not about me. It's about you. Rav Kalman, am I saying? Is it clear what I'm trying to say? There's a sequence here.
Very clear.
What?
Just where does it stop with Bnei Israel?
It doesn't stop.
Does it start with David?
Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav is where it starts. Yeah.
Up to Bnei Ata, yeah. The Bnei B'chol Yisrael. Period. Gamarnu in Bnei Yisrael. Now he says to David, She'al ani hayom yelidetikha as a king, yelidetikha mesachticha, whatever it is, u'sh'al mimeni v'etna goyim lachalatecha. Now he's talking about David. David starts from ani hayom yelidetikha. That talks about David and not about Bnei Yisrael.
Even the beginning is David. David is speaking. David's the speaker. Pasuk Zayin, the beginning. Asapara El Choik. David is saying, now here I am. I'm the savior. The Jewish people are surrounded by the God. They want to kill us. Hashem says, no. I'm not going to let this happen. So now Hashem inspires David. And David says, Hineni, here I am. Here I am. I'm your savior. And David says, let me introduce myself to you, Klal Yisrael. My name is David. And let me make an announcement. Hashem, let me tell you something very important. Asapra El Choik. Let me tell you something that is critical. Something that is essential that you should know. I'm not selfish. I'm not going to be your leader for my own selfish needs. I'm here because I represent Hashem's children. And according to Rashi, the words Hashem Omar Eli Bini Ata Ani Hayom Yiliditicha is interpreted at the same time. Hashem says, I love Klal Yisrael. They're my children. And David is Chaviv before Hashem as the representative of Klal Yisrael, as also being Hashem's child. And therefore, that's why David is going to be the perfect representative for Klal Yisrael. And David says, I know that. I know that I am just an extension of Hashem's children. Rashi, let's finish the Rashi. And Rashi explains that anyone that is a leader of Klal Yisrael, l'shem shamayim for the people, they're called Hashem's children. The good Malchay Yisrael that were precious l'fanav shekruim banim k'mo shenemar b'shloimai hu yiyeh li levein. He will be to me as a child. Vani eheyeh loy le'av. V'yoyid motzin b'dav b'mizmar peches, hu yikra eini avi, ota, you, David, called me Hashem, your father, keli, my God, v'tsur, the rock, yeshu asi. So we see Rashi is coming to prove, giving examples, that a person or the nation that is choviv in Hashem's eyes is called a child. And when we look up to Hashem, and reciprocate that chavivus, we call Hashem our Father. Avinu Sheba Shamayim. When we daven, we call Hashem our Father. Avinu Sheba Shamayim. The Torah says, Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. Lo Yisis Goydu, Lo Yisim Kach HaBeinichem Lameis, B'ni B'chari Yisrael. David here is being called the Ben. Rashi over here is indirectly coming to say, like he said, the first Rashi in the Mizmar is Lisishuvas Haminim. Lisishuvas Haminim. This nonsense out there in the world. We have 2 billion people. There are 2 billion people identified with Christianity. Isn't that amazing? 2 billion people. 2 billion people identify as Christians. Unbelievable. They all believe, they don't know what they believe, that one guy says, God came to me and told me this and this. Would you believe that? Someone comes and God came to me and told me.
No, it's not that way. You believe that someone said, I know God came to me.
Even worse, it's even worse. Okay, it's even worse. They believe, and this person, they believe that this person, this human being, has a mother, and the mother was impregnated by a human being. Okay, can you imagine there are 2 billion people?
By God.
2 billion people in this world ascribe to this nonsense. Isn't that amazing? So Rashi here says in the very beginning of this chapter, where do they get this crazy nonsense from? What gives them the gasoline to go on and say this? This pasuk. Rashi says this. Rashi says, Hashem Omar Eli. Hashem told me. Biniyato. Ani hayom yiliditicha. Rashi says, this pasuk here is a problem. That's why he says, Ulis shuvas haminin. And that's why Rashi over here is elaborating in very great detail. When it says in the Torah, a child, excuse me, the word child in the Torah means chavivus. I love you. Hashem says to Moshe, go tell Klal Yisrael, b'ni b'choyri Yisrael. Hashem said to Shlomo HaMelech, you're my child. Hu yiyeh li levein. Hashem said about Shlomo, he will be to me as a vein. And we know that Shlomo had a mother and a father. Therefore, when it says over here, David HaMelech says, Hashem said to me, you're my child. It doesn't mean I'm your physical child. It's nonsense. It means I love you. I love you. I have a chavivus for you. Why do I have a chavivus for you? Because you represent my people who I have a love for. Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. V'nid l'chari Yisrael. And you, David, you get it. Vayeda David. David understands that he's nothing more than Hashem's representative for Klal Yisrael. So don't go and fall as a victim to this foolishness of the masses who believe in crazy things. It's so dangerous. I saw a video, a really shocking video. This is done by Stanford University. Stanford University did this study. It's just mind-boggling. A person walks into a real doctor's office. He has a real appointment, no joke. He goes to a doctor's office. He's sitting in the waiting room. Sitting there, they show this woman, did it a few times. They show this woman, and everyone there is really an actor. And she has a real doctor's appointment. But they just stage the other people. All of a sudden, after 3 minutes, all of a sudden, a bell goes off. Ding! And everyone gets up. Everyone there in the room, in the waiting room, stands up. They just stop what they're doing and they stand up. And they show, it's all video, they look at her. She looks at them. Wow, what's going on here? Okay, then they all sit down. 2 minutes later, ding, they all get up. Everyone gets up again. What? What's going on? And this repeats itself. Slowly but surely, after a few dings, she also gets up. She also gets up. She doesn't want to be different. She also gets up. The peer pressure. She gets up. Then they call in a guy. Then, oh, sir, I'm so coming to the doctor. One, he goes out. Again, ding, goes on. Next guy, then they call in another guy. At the very end, she was the only one left in the waiting room. After 20 minutes, she was the only one left in the waiting room. She's the only one that no one's watching. Ding! She gets up. Isn't that scary?
It's conditioning.
Isn't that scary? No one's there anymore. She doesn't know why. Everyone does it, so she did it. It took her a couple of times. You know, the peer pressure, everyone does it, must be.
Studies like this since the 50s and 60s.
Well, they had a candid camera. They had a very...
Isn't that scary?
In candid camera, they had a very interesting thing there. They showed two people standing at the end of the street pretending to be holding a rope, tautly. There was nothing there, but they were pretending. And then they had their own people, as they got to that point, would step over it. And they kept stepping over it, a few people, and then they showed other people who were not part of it stepping over it. But the funny part was, you saw some people said, this is the
craziest,
nonsense, and they walked right through it and nothing happened. And then afterwards, people still were stepping over it. That's what was funny.
Look, it's the same thing now with masks.
Let's not get politics. Let's not go into any politics.
No, I'm saying you and your hoopics, there's nobody out there.
I don't want to get politics. This is not a good... This topic never, ever, ever ends well. So let's not even go there. They don't get burnt. But over here, we're talking over your learning. Over here, there's a Rashi and the Radak. They dwell on this. Hashem Amar Elai B'niyata Ani Hayom Miluti Ticha. This at face value is a very dangerous pasuk. A very dangerous pasuk. We're not making jokes here. This is Radak and Rashi. Let's shuvah saminim. Rashi over here goes out of his way to explain to you what the pasuk over here means. The word B'ni is Chavivos. Chavivos. And B'ni B'chori Yisrael, David is Chaviv, Shlomo is Chaviv, the Melech HaMashiach is Chaviv. That's all it means. That's all it means. Don't subscribe or don't fall into the trap of nonsense. Don't let people go and fadre you.
The nonsense starts with Ani Hayom Lilitikha. B'ni Ata, fine. I love you. Ani Hayom
Lilitikha.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes. Yes.
The only time in Dylan where it's that Hashem spoke to David.
No! Of course not. Of course not. This, we're just learning this mizmar. This mizmar says, David over here is, this is the beginning of the Tillim. We mentioned this is a Hakdama. Mizmar Aleph and Beis is the introduction to Sefer Tehillim. Mizmar Aleph, we explained this. Mizmar Aleph is where David introduces himself as a private person. Mizmar Beis is where David introduces himself as the Melech of Klal Yisrael. David as the Melech of Klal Yisrael. So over here he's saying, I am representing you. Hashem has selected me. Because Hashem holds me to be Chaviv, not because I'm Chaviv, but I'm Chaviv, because I appreciate that Klal Yisrael is precious. And therefore that's why I'm precious. My koyach comes from Klal Yisrael. Now, okay, pasuches, let's just do one more pasuch. Shalmi menis, Hashem says, now, we got a problem. So look at the sequence of psukim. The world is coming to an end. Klal Yisrael is under attack. Hashem says, this is intolerable. We must find the solution. Hashem selects David. David says, here I am. I'm here to solve the problems of Klal Yisrael. Now that David has been recruited, we have established there's a problem. Hashem has a desire to solve the problem. We have hired the right person. There's been an international search committee to find the appropriate candidate for the job. They spend years, you know, you have these organizations, they spend years finding the right person. Oh, congratulations, we found the right person for the job. And now, okay, get to work. The honeymoon is over. The inauguration is, the hachtara is over. David, what are you going to do about all the problems? Sha'al mimeni. Ask me, what do you want? David, I'm giving you power, I'm giving you free reign. Ask from me. Hashem is speaking. Over here, Hashem is speaking. He's quoting Hashem's words. Sha'al mimeni di etena goyim nachalos nachalosecha. I will give you nations as your inheritance. Va'achuzascha and your possessions Afse Oretz will spread to the ends of the earth. Let us see the Mitzudos David over here in these words. Sha'al Lazois, therefore. Sha'al Nimen V'etin She'eloscha Liyos Hagoyim Nachalosecha. I'm giving you the power. I'm giving you power. It almost appears that Hashem is saying, David, daven to me. What I want you to do, David, is to ask. By asking, that's already half the battle. Rashi, Sha'al Nimeni, Hispalel Eli. B'chol eis she'ato bo li lochem b'oyevecha. Rashi says it explicitly. Rashi says to David, Hashem over here is giving David advice. Again, the whole sequence. We have a dangerous situation. Hashem is intolerable. We're going to have a search committee. We found our man. We've now hired the right person. And now, let me tell you what the job entails. And the secret to your success will be in your ability or your desire to pray. When you go out to war, to eliminate, to neutralize all of these troublemakers, it must be done through the koyach of tzila. Sha'al men doesn't just mean Rashi, that's why you need to perish Rashi. Rashi just says the way it is. Sha'al Hashem is telling David, your success will depend upon the koyach of tzila. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We'll continue mission tomorrow. I don't want to spend more than another day or two on this. Go to the next mizmor. A lot.